Well, welcome back to Let's Talk Marriage. And we're on lesson seven, the biblical role of the wife, or God's design for the wife. And today we are going to take opportunity to look at what God has said in the Bible about the role of the wife in the home. And so as we begin today, I want us to remember that God created marriage. And when he did, he said it was a good thing. And he put a man and a woman in this relationship. And so, just like everything else God does for us, he gives us instructions and guidance as to how we're to do it. So, today, let's talk about God's design for the wife. When God created Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to care for it, he made a statement that's very important when it comes to the role of the wife in marriage. That statement is found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, where the Bible says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' He then proceeded to create the animals and let Adam name them, but still there was not a helper that was just right for Adam. So God did the following. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, 'So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. The helper that God made, who was just right for Adam, was the woman.'" In Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24, here's what Adam said. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." When God said he wanted a helper just right for Adam, what did he mean? Well, it's interesting. The Hebrew word translated here, just right, or it's translated suitable in the King James Version, literally means equal and adequate to himself. Of course, the word helper means one who helps. So God had given Adam responsibilities to tend the garden, care for the animals, and oversee the creation God had completed. However, God pointed out that Adam needed someone to help him in these responsibilities. Someone who was, here it is, equal and adequate to himself, someone like him, but different in just the right way, someone who could fill in the gaps where Adam was lacking, and vice versa. The animals did not fit that purpose. That someone was Eve. Then God said, because of the need Adam and Eve had for each other, it was important that they be joined together as one. So God instituted marriage for all those that would follow as a way of bringing man and woman together as one, when he said, "This explains," what explains? "The need for the man and woman to have each other, that they need each other. That need explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." At that moment, God indicated for all mankind the role that woman would play in his creation, to be the equal partner beside man in caring for the world God had made. The man could not do it without the woman. He needed a helper. And as a result, the institution of marriage was born. The role of the wife in marriage is equally important as the role of the husband, because according to God, they need each other to fulfill God's plan for their lives. Now let's look at the God-given role of the wife as described in the Bible. We'll be looking at four places in the Bible that address the role of the wife: Ephesians 5, Titus 2, 1 Peter 3, and Proverbs 31. As a reminder, the fulfillment of the God-given role of the woman, like the man, is predicated on the woman being the person God teaches she should be. We discussed this in our lesson on roles and responsibilities in marriage. So we're not going to rehash all of that at this time. So, assuming that the woman is a believer and that she wants to be the wife that God intends her to be, and likewise the husband wants the same thing, Then with all that as a foundation, then the following describes the role of the wife. Let's start in Ephesians 5, verses 21 and 22. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. As with the husband, God points out that submission is the key to the marriage relationship. Submission to God first, and then submission to each other. Ephesians 5:22, God tells us what submission looks like for the woman. When God created Eve, he was creating a helper for Adam. In one word, this pretty much describes the main role of the woman, to help. This is how that looks in real life. First of all, you help your husband lead. Well, how do I do that? When God created Eve, he pointed out it was not good for the man to be alone. Now, God has given the man responsibilities in the home, but God says he can't do it alone. He needs the wife. He cannot lead properly without her. He needs her. 1 Corinthians 11:11. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. They need each other. So this idea that the man is some kind of dictator and the woman is just the servant that follows along, nothing could be further from the biblical truth. That is not what God teaches or what God intended. However, God did give man the responsibility to lead the home, and the man, that's who God is going to hold accountable for what takes place in the home. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But there is one thing I want you to know, Paul said, the head of every man is Christ. The man answers to Jesus Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So, ladies, how do you help your husband lead? Let me give you a few ideas straight from the Bible. One, love your husband. Jesus loved us so much, he died for us, and he wants what's best for us. And that's the way we should love each other. It's the way to love your husband and the way your husband should love you. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. One way you can show that love is to accept his leadership. This allows him to do what God is calling him to do. Trust God to take care of him when he gets out of line. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't voice your opinion, as we'll see in just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Then in verse 5 of 1 Peter 3, the Bible says, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. And that's one way that you show your husband that you love him. And it helps him by knowing that he has your support, and therefore he can do his job the way he's supposed to do it. Number two, you can help your husband lead by living wisely. Live your life by the truth of the Bible. Titus describes a life lived wisely like this, that it's pure, you work in your home, you do good, and you are submissive, or you allow your husband to lead. Titus 2, 4, and 5. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. When you live this way, ladies, Proverbs 31 lets you know the impact you're going to have on your husband and your home. Your husband can trust you, and you actually make him a better man because of who you are. Every man needs this. Look at Proverbs 31, verses 10, 11, and 12. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. You can also help your husband lead, number three, by letting your words be wise. Ladies, share your wisdom with your husband. Your opinion matters. God has directed your life through the experiences and learning opportunities you've been through for a reason. That's why God put you and your husband together. You have different perspectives, which is needed in the operation of the home. Your husband needs your wisdom to be able to make wise decisions for your home. Give your instruction with kindness. A man who follows God will value what his wife has to say, and you'll learn to make these decisions together. Proverbs 31:26 says, "When she speaks, the wise woman, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness." And then last, you can help your husband lead by not being lazy. The Bible says laziness is not good. Marriage is work. Life is work. Both husband and wife must do their part in the work of the family. You can help your husband lead by doing your part in the work of the family, whatever that looks like for your home. Look at Proverbs 31, verses 15 through 17, and then also verse 27, at how the Bible describes a virtuous woman. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. By the way, ladies, God talks about a virtuous woman having earnings. So this idea that the woman should not work and that she should stay home all the time, even though your most important job is your home, not your job outside the home, there is nothing biblical that says you can't work or should not work if you want to. That's okay. That's what a virtuous woman does. But your most important work is done in the home. She is energetic and strong. Verse 17 says she's a hard worker. Verse 27, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. So number one, you help your husband by helping him lead. Number two, you help your husband by making your house a home. Making a house a home isn't about the money. It isn't about the decorations, the pictures, or the furniture. It's about the atmosphere of the house you live in. Is it a home or is it just a place where you live? So what makes the difference? Well, let me suggest a few things that I found in the Bible. First of all, a house is a home when the husband and wife are doing their part for the family and they appreciate each other for what they do. You show your husband you appreciate him when you accept his authority and you better his life, as we've already seen. However, the husband and the children will show you appreciation by praising you for being the woman God made you to be. Look at what Proverbs 31, verses 27 and 28 says about the virtuous woman. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. Ladies, you and your husband both have a job to do in the home, and you need to appreciate each other. Your husband has that responsibility first to make sure he lets you know how much he appreciates you, and then you, in turn, do the same thing. Number two, a house becomes a home when you love each other and your children. We've already seen multiple times the importance of loving each other and being kind to one another the way that Jesus loves us. This is what keeps the home together. Titus 2:4. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Also, a house becomes a home when you keep the house in order, clean, organized, void of chaos, and filled with peace. These are things that make a house a home. And actually, in the Bible, God gives oversight of this to the woman as the keeper of the home. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. We've already seen the verse, and it's talking about how to live wisely. You live wisely, be pure, and look at this. They are to work in their homes. That literally means they are the CEO of the home. They do good, they're submissive to their husbands, so they won't bring shame to the word of God. But they work in their homes. In Titus 2:5, when the Bible describes the wife as one who works in the home, that phrase literally means a keeper of the home, the domestic CEO, the one responsible for making sure the house is a home. We all may have heard the saying, when mom's not happy, nobody's happy. Or the saying, happy wife, happy life. And my friend, this is true. God designed the woman for this duty, and she is the best at it. For example, when the love is lacking, it's usually the wife who's best at rekindling it. When the husband's getting a little lazy, a wise wife will lovingly encourage him to do his part. Her example of hard work serves as the motivator for the husband to push on. After all, she works hard all day, just like the husband does. When the house gets in disarray and turmoil is beginning to take place, it's the godly wife that has the ability to calm things down and restore peace to the home. All of this because God designed her to be the keeper of the home. However, this does not mean that she is to only work in the home. Proverbs 31 clearly indicates the virtuous woman did much work outside the four walls of her home to make her house a home. Number three, you can help your husband by living for and trusting God. Some may ask, what if my husband's not living for God and fulfilling his role in the home? That's where this aspect of your role comes in. Of course, it's much easier to live this way when your husband's living this way as well. Listen to what God says in 1 Peter 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, in other words, they're not living the way they're supposed to live, your godly lives will speak to them. By you living the way you're supposed to live, even if he's not, it's your life that's actually going to speak to him, and God's going to use it. And God says your life speaks to him without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Ladies, let me tell you something. A godly life and the example you set by doing the right thing with your life goes a million miles further than preaching a sermon to your husband about why he's a terrible husband. Just show him by being the woman God intended you to be. When you live for God and trust him with your life, God will work on your husband so you don't have to. Trust God to change your husband. Well, how do I do this, you may ask? Well, let's read 1 Peter 3 and move forward and see what else he says. Number one, it's not your outward appearance that God uses to change your husband. 1 Peter 3:3, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Now, ladies, there's nothing wrong with looking good. And I'm sure your husband would say he appreciates that. But that's not the main thing God is going to use to change your husband. It's not what you look like on the outside, but number two, it's your inner beauty that God uses, the person you are in your heart. And this includes several things, and Peter talks about them. First of all, your inner beauty is shown by a gentle and quiet spirit. This refers to one who is humble with no thought for themselves. They're not selfish. A wife who trusts God is in control rather than thinking, a wife who trusts that God is in control rather than thinking they must be in control. Let God be in control. Don't worry about thinking you've got to change everything. And when you do, that's going to give you a gentle and quiet spirit. They know, this kind of woman knows that God will take care of them. A wife who is quiet and peaceful in the midst of the storm, not one trying to start a war or an argument. So it's not a competition. It's not a war. Let God take care of the battles. 1 Peter 3:4, you should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. If God says that kind of an inner spirit is precious to him, you know it's important. Number two, you're this kind of a woman when you completely trust God to do what you cannot do. We can only control our actions, thoughts, attitudes, and responses. Only ours. We cannot control those things in our mate, nor does God expect us to. However, God controls everything, and he'll take care of the corrections that need to be made. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5a. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God. Once again, talking about this inner beauty. They trusted God. Number three, your inner beauty is seen when you respect your husband, even when it's hard. You know, just like the leaders of our country, we may not necessarily agree with what they do, and they will not always do the right thing. But the Bible teaches us to respect the position of authority that he has given to them. You can find this, by the way, in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. That's the same principle for wives. You do not have to agree with what your husband is doing, but you need to respect his position of authority, a position God has assigned to the husband. And since God assigned it to him, let God take care of him. 1 Peter 3:5. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and they accepted the authority of their husbands, the position, not necessarily agreeing with everything he does, but you accept that position of authority. And then finally, number four, that inner beauty is seen when you do what is right, regardless of what your husband does. And we've talked a little bit about it. While respecting your husband's position of authority, God still admonishes us to do what's right, regardless of what your husband does. 1 Peter 3:6. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters. Here it is. When you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In conclusion, I think you can see the powerful and important position the wife plays in the marriage relationship. Helping your husband is not some menial task that carries little to no importance. On the contrary, the fulfillment of the role of the wife is critical to the success of the husband fulfilling his role in the home and vice versa. Bottom line, the husband is nothing without his wife, and the wife is nothing without the husband. We need each other. Marriage is not a competition with each other or a power struggle against each other. It's a God-given partnership designed to make both husband and wife better and create a little heaven on earth that God calls the home. May God bless your home as you fulfill your God-given role as husband and wife. Next time, we're going to talk about the role of parents in the home. And while our lesson on parents is not designed to be an exhaustive study on how to parent, it will at least give you the responsibilities that you're going to have as you enter parenthood and start to have children. So let's have prayer and we'll be done. Father, thank you once again for your word. Use it to help us have godly homes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.